We are live with the last episode recap of season one of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Welcome back to the Salty Sisters. Cho, how are we today?
We are doing good, Sam, although I am very sad that this is the last episode. I feel like I don't know what I'll do with my free time if I'm not watching and analyzing Real Housewives of Salt Lake City anymore.
I know. I feel like if we're not talking about this, I can't wait to go back and binge where I don't have to take notes. But I also am just like really excited that they're already filming season two. Before we get started, we're going to do a little bit different whiteout, 1 minute whiteout today. I actually have a special guest who's going to pop their head in and say hi. They are the reason that I got this shirt, which is the You Smell Like Hospital shirt. And we have the infamous Brother Greenberg here. Brother Greenberg, how are you?
Hello, hello. I'm blessed to be on the podcast today.
Oh, yes. Honor. Welcome. We're excited to have you. And I have to let you know, I think you may have a future in Real Housewife merch. You're clearly the king of it.
Yeah, this was a vision of mine, and I was fortunate enough to find a supplier who was willing to make my vision come to life this time. So I'm certainly looking into it.
So last night we watched The Real Housewives Reunion Part 3. Ben has watched none of it. He looked at me and he said, "Oh, is that the lady on your shirt?" I said, "Oh, that's the shirt you bought me." And I thought there was no better person to come in and do the classic part of our recap, except for the 1 minute whiteout, which is where you basically talk about what happened in that episode for a whole minute. And it doesn't matter if you don't know who they are. You're just going to tell us what you think. How do you feel about that, Ben?
Let's do it. Let's send it.
Okay. Cho, are you putting a minute on the clock?
I'm putting a minute on the clock, and it's all yours now, Ben.
Okay. So they're sitting in an auditorium with a bunch of snow on the ground. It's all fake. And they each have their husbands with one another, and then two of them make up, and I don't really know what they were making up about, but everybody seemed like that was huge. And then as they were making up, the woman who was blonde and I don't know, had like on a gold top, she was saying, she started trying to start some shit, and then everybody was like, I was so confused about what she was doing, but apparently everybody else was like, yeah, she's right. So she was really liked. And then after that, there was like a little break and the men went. Oh, and then John Senior or something Senior, the pastor man, he...
Mary's grandfather, husband.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He, you know, defended himself and Coach Shaw defended him and they made up as well. And then there was a break and the men went away. And then how am I doing on time?
We're going to let you have...
Okay, great.
You keep telling us.
And then...
This is great. Our listeners know exactly who you're talking about too. Like they don't need names because you're clearly talking about Jen and Mary and Heather. So keep going.
There we go. And then after the break, then everybody started attacking Jen, I think. And so then Jen was on the defensive and I think that's about all I remember. And then Jen sort of had a meltdown and then it was sort of turned into a racial justice moment in the show. And then that was the end of it. I think that's what I remember.
And then they all ate meatballs.
They all ate meatballs and fake snow fell. And then Mary thought she could eat it.
Perfect ending to the perfect season and the perfect recap for our last episode. That was great.
Exactly. Ben said to me, he said, I might have to watch this season when he saw just like the video flashback clips. And I thought to myself, we hooked another one. Is that true?
That's true.
It was a true story.
Yeah.
Well, bravo to us. Bravo.
So we will let him go. He is off to go enjoy his life, not talking about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake. But thank you for your attendance and for this wonderful You Smell Like Hospital shirt.
Indeed. Thanks for having me on.
Take care.
Okay. Well, you heard it, everybody. If you've never listened to the show, that's what happens when you watch an episode of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Okay, Cho, what should we talk about first?
Let's talk about the husbands.
Okay. Which husband do we want to start with?
I don't know. There was so much greatness there. I'll let you pick. Who are we starting with?
Let's start with the one who didn't have a husband. I felt very uncomfortable for Heather. It felt weird to me that, like, we brought everybody on. Like, I don't know, bring Dre, like her business partner. There was just something not great about it to me.
There was something not great about it. And it just made me remember part of why we love Heather, because she's kind of the underdog. And here's this lady with this great personality and who seems to have a great, sweet soul. And she is the most singlest amongst them. And seemed like she had no one in her corner, which, I mean, Whitney aside, it kind of matched the vibe of her experience on the show the whole time. Just kind of being there, not necessarily having a person in her corner.
Yeah. And we'll talk about divorce in just a second. I feel like that was like a huge thread in the like section with the husband. So let's start with, I guess Seth and Meredith have to do with divorce too. So let's start by talking about Jen and Sharif and Mary and Robert, because I thought that was a really fascinating, like I've never really watched, I guess in Potomac, like the husbands talked, but not, it felt different today.
Yeah, it did, because, all right, Coach Shaw is a very sensible person. So here we have a sensible person in the middle of the chaos. And then we have Mary and her husband. Her husband seems sensible, but we know that there's something going on extra there. It was kind of interesting to me to hear his feedback on the show and him talking about how he was reluctant to come on the show because he knew what happened was going to happen. But then it was also interesting to kind of watch him and Mary bicker, right? So him and Mary bickered, but it was nice to watch Coach Shaw and him talk, and Coach Shaw apologizing on behalf of his wife. I thought that was beautiful. Mary's husband accepted the apology. I thought that was beautiful. I'm going to end what I said. I see double dates in the future. They might be the best of friends going forward.
Yeah. When Mary like turned around and basically was like, listen, Robert Senior, we've already discussed this. There was a part of me that I was like, I don't feel like we really got an apology. Like I kind of see that like maybe sure, whatever, they put it aside. Not the apology coming to amends I would have looked for, but the fact that she was like, Robert Senior, you will not come after Jen. You will not get involved in this. And then for Sharif to say like, I didn't agree with my wife. Like, I know why she did it, but I didn't agree with her. I think it's something we don't always see, right? And we'll talk about like the women and where they're at, but seeing Jen really, okay, I'm not going to say Jen reflect, right? But seeing people like really have to reflect back on themselves and having him process through that, I thought was really helpful. I also think we learned a lot about her dad's death.
Yeah, I think we learned a lot about the dad's death. It was nice to get clarity there. But part of me, to your point about Mary and her husband's conversation, part of me feels like Mary didn't understand what he was saying, because I feel like what her husband was addressing was not what she thought he was addressing. She's like, you're coming here, you're bringing negativity to a situation that we've already rectified. And I felt like Robert Senior was talking a lot. I felt like he was going to talk about some of the blowback they received on their marriage or how people are viewing their church and things like that.
Yeah, I think he definitely came in defensive, and then he realized he didn't have to be, that a lot of those things had already kind of been quashed. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. Jen's dad died like on a football Saturday during an away game, right? Like we've been creepy enough to stalk back to this. So to hear like, he wasn't there while my dad, like he came back and took time off while my dad was going downhill. Then he wasn't there the day he actually died because it was a football game day, but he was there for the week and everything, gives so much more context that we never really had.
Exactly. Exactly. And it made me feel better about Coach Shaw, because after I reflected on him not being there, I'm like, wait a second. He's always walking around giving these pep talks. He seems like a great husband, but why the heck wasn't he there?
Yeah. And now we know, I'm sure if they had known he was, I mean, I don't know. I feel like sometimes you're given like 3 hours or 3 weeks, and that's a hard time for a football coach to just stop his whole life and be supportive. You know, I think if he was in Utah, right, which is 6.5 days a week, but when you're away at a football game, we kind of learned quite a bit about that. So speaking of kind of relationships, let's talk about divorce. Because I was very, we've talked about this before on the podcast, but Mormons and divorce was like front and center here. And I couldn't make heads or tails of what the big takeaway was.
Yeah. Well, per Lisa Barlow, there's no reason to talk about divorce because it's not a big deal. She comes from a generations upon generations of divorced Mormons. And so does her husband. And also, fun fact, in case you didn't know, her husband was married before her. And
did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
That was brand new to me. Brand new.
And apparently divorce is just something that's not a big deal. I thought it was interesting that Lisa even interjected that because it's like she now is fault picking with Heather. And it's like, well, you keep talking about divorce like it's this big thing. Guess what? Stop trying to portray it as a big thing because everybody gets divorced in the church. And to Lisa's point, I know tons of people who are members of the church who are divorced. I was actually quite shocked to hear how many people were divorced when I worked in Provo, right? So I get what she's saying, that it's common, but that does not mean, to Heather's point, that it's not painful or that you're not shunned or looked down upon. Divorce in non-Mormon circles sometimes gives people the pause about people and their families and how they're operating. I mean, you'll hear like the stereotypes of people like in the South, for instance, not wanting their children to go play at someone's house because the mom's a single parent and she's divorced. That must mean that it's a broken home and bad stuff is happening there. So I thought it was weird that Lisa tried to go out of her way to show that divorce was just regular. And that clearly triggered Heather, because it was interesting to see their back and forth and the split screen that they set up with them talking of each other.
Right. And let's be clear, Heather is also correct, right? When Lisa's like, you can become unsealed, and she tries to tell Heather this, Heather actually can't unless she has a suitable person to then be sealed to. If you are a man, and the thing they probably are not talking about is, according to LDS doctrine, Lisa and John, unless his ex-wife has like gone and gotten sealed to somebody else, like according to the church, they're all going to be on a planet together. Like,
but that's
Lisa's
completely
talking
okay.
about.
Like, when you want to find all your people were loved.
Well, he's right. going to have it with all of his wives.
Right.
Who knows if Lisa's going to want that. But the point is, Heather can't, right? Heather is actually sealed to her husband, and she can't be unsealed unless she's going to be sealed to someone else. She can't have multiple husbands on her planet because that's not how this works. And okay, in fairness, we are not LDS. I have talked to a lot of people about this. This is my perception. So I am not sitting here like spouting the exact doctrine, you know, but when Heather says like, I don't have that option to be unsealed, like even if she didn't have a suitable person, whatever the guy's name, he'd have to separate from her, right? He would have to make that decision. She doesn't really have, as a woman married in the church, she does not have very much autonomy. And so Lisa's perception of divorce is quite different from Heather's because their experiences actually are different, right? From John's divorce, Lisa got, well, she's going to have a second wife on their planet whenever they all pass. And she got a husband out of it. Heather gets nothing. And to be honest, well, anyways, I'm going to stop this rant because I also want to talk about Justin and his talk about being excommunicated and Heather being excommunicated, because I also think, one, that broke my heart, and two, I don't know that the church will send Heather a letter for the purposes of not having, like, they don't want it to be a thing on the show, but for all intents and purposes, you can see a world where she is not doing the LDS church proud, and that she could get a very similar letter to what Justin experienced.
Yeah. And before we move on to the letter, I do want to circle back on the sealed thing. You know, my parents were sealed in the church, and I've heard my mom talk about like, they're no longer together. They're divorced. And it is a bit uncomfortable to think about, like, I'm still technically married to this person for all intents and purposes. And let's say, I don't know the details of this, but let's say Heather does receive a letter from the church. How then do you become unsealed? You know what I mean? Like, so now, like, you've done this ceremony where you're tied to this person. And although, even if you believe in it, even if you don't believe in it, like, you know, it would be nice to have a ceremony to undo it, even if it's just for your own mind purposes. And if you are then kicked out of the church, guess what you can't do? Figure out how to be unsealed, right? Like, they're not going to go through the process of unsealing you and allowing you to become newly sealed to someone because you have a new match. Nor is there, I don't think, a thing to just generally unseal. So the whole thing is very interesting to me. I know my mom has talked about it, and it sometimes saddens her. And if you think, if you're trying to move on in life, but you reflect back and you're like, oh my gosh, the church told me I am tied to this person for forever. And you know, there's an emotional component to that when you're thinking about your religions and your belief. There, at a certain point, this is something that these people strongly believed in. So even if you move on, it is hard to like rectify that you're a free person, or you're free to go out on your own.
Yeah.
And also,
No, go ahead.
And also, I found it very shocking and surprising that Heather has not received a letter. When I heard that she had not received a letter, I was like, the biggest takeaway, Heather is still a member of the church.
Yeah. Yep. Big surprise. No, I want to be clear. I don't mean that because she doesn't embody LDS values or whatever it is, but I personally have heard of people being sent letters for significantly less than, you know, going on national television and in some ways making a little bit of a mockery of the church.
Thing. There's no way. We'll have to watch. We'll be on letter watch, because I just can't imagine a world where she doesn't get a letter. But then you have to keep in mind, like, this season has played out over X amount of months. They are very quick with those letters. Okay. They're very quick with the letters.
I don't think she's getting a letter.
They don't have her address. Her letter has not found her yet. That is going to be my philosophy.
Yeah. I don't think that's true. I think that it's worse PR for them to send her a letter at this point, because she is associated, you know.
Church. So maybe they want to win her back. Maybe they're sending missionaries to her door nonstop to win her back. And maybe that's the plan.
I mean, her daughter's not far from the age at which she could potentially qualify.
Yeah, but I don't see, yes, it's not good PR for the church for her to receive a letter now. But also, you have to remember, for the people who were devout, it is not a good look for Heather to be able to do all that, still be able to have a temple recommend, which affords her certain privileges.
Like, I don't think she has a temple recommend.
Oh, okay. She doesn't.
She's not going to church and she's not doing tithing. Okay, okay, so my estimation is that she does not have kind of the highest level of LDS, which would be the temple recommend. She's probably somewhere in the middle, but she hasn't been excommunicated like Justin was.
Well, okay. Yeah. And
that's why I think they're not going to send her a letter.
Okay. But on the grand scheme of things, okay, Justin and Whitney. Justin receives a letter because he had an affair, right? Which to me seems a little bit more low tiered, if you will, it could just be me, than having Heather on TV talking about having sex as a single parent, wanting her children to have multiple partners, drinking alcohol, like literally go through. I almost kind of want to do this, but I love Heather, so I wouldn't do this. But you could almost create a trailer of her doing excommunication worthy things and be like, this is our case for excommunicating you. Here's the video evidence. Here's your letter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say. So I guess let's like transition this into the letter.
And one final thought. Perhaps she doesn't receive a letter. I could see her attending that, you know, they have that one big day. I feel like it's around Pie and Beer Day, where everybody goes who wants to leave the church and they'll go do their resignation. I feel like she'd like spearhead that or make a big production on that day to be like, oh my gosh, I'm leaving the church on this day where everybody who wants to leave the church leaves the church.
I've never heard of that day.
Yeah, it's this day. Well, you know, it's this day. It's this day where it's not an official day. I want to say it's related to Pioneer Day. Because, you know, what bar has that really good pie and beer day? Bar X?
Beer Bar X.
So at Beer Bar, someone will set up a table. Someone sets something up so that people can resign. And I don't know if it's official or I don't know what it is, but people who want to resign from the church, they'll go there and then it's like this big celebration. But ideally, it's supposed to make it a little bit easier and you're doing it with the support of a bunch of people around you, because it can be hard. Like, till this day, my mom has never resigned from the church, nor has my dad.
Interesting. You know, I know a lot of people, we actually, I have a number of friends who are like still on the roll books, you know, like don't have a temple recommend, haven't identified, you know, I've never really identified that, but like getting yourself off the list has been a challenge. So, it's an interesting process. You know, all of this came to be because we were talking about Seth and Meredith on the reunion was talking about Seth and Meredith. They seem great. And they seem to be the couple that maybe is one of the few to have had success in bringing them together by shooting a reality TV show.
I'm with the person who said it seemed very interesting that one minute they weren't together and the next minute they cannot keep their hands off each other. I don't know if it's ecstasy, if it's Molly or whatever drug that makes you be touchy-feely, but I felt like they embodied that because they were all over each other. So, kudos to them for reconciling, you know, but I'm part of me wonders, was that really real? Because keep in mind, guess what? Lisa Barlow never knew that they separated. So did they never separate? And maybe Meredith had an affair and they needed to cover it up in case it came out. So it became this big separation production. I don't know, but I do think something's fishy in the water.
They're like a New York, Chicago, that kind of couple. I don't know. It doesn't separating and getting back together doesn't seem that out of, you know, that's much less common. I feel like out here in the Mountain West when I talk to people, but who knows? So that's kind of the husbands and the divorce of it all.
Valid point. That's a valid point. You're right. Yeah. Like cultural differences in terms of what you see in other parts of America in terms of how those things are handled.
Yeah. So, and I want to come back to Meredith because I saw these moments from Meredith that made me excited at the possibility for season two. But I think I want to talk about like the status among the women and kind of where we're going to be headed. So let's talk about the last kind of big picture thing. And then we're going to do a little bit of a different format on the back end today as we prepare for the launching of season two, which started filming this week. Race and aggression was kind of the last topic. And we talked about it. We've talked about it actually throughout. We talked about Mary and the convenience store. You know, you and I have touched on different topics, but I want to just open it up and talk about kind of the ending scene, which was Jen saying that the women calling her aggressive because she was BIPOC was like very harmful and hurtful and is the reason why she said what she said.
Yeah. Okay. I saw her point. I saw her point. At first, you know, I was of the belief that she was race baiting. But then when I watched her cry and dang near hyperventilate, I'm like, this is this woman's reality, right? But at a certain point, she cannot understand that the two can be true. She is aggressive, okay? In nobody's world is she not aggressive. She needs to make peace with the fact that, yes, she did have valid points when she said certain things, like if she says she's going to cut a bee, it looks different than when they say it. Yes, that's true. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about not that one piece she said she wanted to drown Whitney, which is an oddly specific thing that no one's not saying, like, I'm a cut a bitch. It is a specific thing that she said, which was odd, right? We're talking about her aggressive behavior in general. And I don't think that the rule is you do not get to call a person of color aggressive if they are being aggressive. I think what we're trying to do is make sure you're not making those mistakes like Jen saying, I'm a cut a bee, and then you assuming, oh my God, she really is going to cut a bee, versus if Whitney says it, you think it's cute.
Correct. And I think, I mean, they showed very clear scenes. Jen pushes Heather. Jen tells Heather, if it weren't for their friendship, she would have already drowned Whitney in the lake behind her house. I don't think that Whitney feeling unsafe and saying that she's been threatened is inaccurate. I think if that had happened with any other housewife, I can think of like a Kelly Dodd, right? Like, well, okay, that was a bad example because Kelly would also identify as partially Black, but right, for all intents and purposes. I know you're laughing, but it's true. That's like all she came out about at the reunion
she's
is like,
black.
I'm not racist because I'm Black, right? So black. Kelly Dodd is not a great example. Let me think about, you know, but okay, find all of these other ones. Tamra Judge, right? Somebody who has gone off the handle and yelled at people and caused a scene and does not identify as a you know, under like a minority identity, that's still aggressive, right? Close your eyes, and that statement, or no, sorry, not aggressive, is threatening. And it's hard because you want to separate, right? Like you want to separate those things. And yes, I agree with you. That is her reality. I think the question has to be like, can you reflect inwards and realize that that might be reality, but that also like those statements aren't okay. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah, but you're onto something there, right? So Tamara Judd going off, Kelly Ben Simon going off, Kim Richards going off. The word that comes to mind for me with them is not aggressive. I don't know what the unifying word is. It becomes different things. Unhinged. That girl's crazy. She likes drama, right? It is true though. And even me, I'm a Black woman. Jen, I'm like clearly aggressive woman. On Real Housewives of Atlanta, when Portia went off, aggressive. Monique, aggressive. That our society has programmed us to think of it that way. And I don't know if it's mannerisms, you know, that are involved in it. You think of it as more harmful and more scary in a way than if it is Tamara Judd, who's doing the same thing. So there is something there, but that doesn't negate the point that the behavior is still something. Okay. Correct. It's still something, and it's not something people should be doing. So it's like, I see where she's coming from. I don't think we should get caught up in it. I do not feel that Heather and Whitney are racist or were coming from a racist lens. I do like how they were open to listening and learning more. I thought Whitney's call to Justin towards the end was a little bit interesting when she's like, oh, they're bringing up the race thing. And then I was just like, okay, I'm a little bit annoyed here and I don't know why. But I do think that Jen took it a little bit far, and it was big words to accuse someone of being racist because they called you aggressive when you are doing something. Maybe we're not going to call it aggressive anymore. But
yeah, I think that's a really good, right? Like, it would be nice to, I think we can all identify somebody in each of the franchises that has done something that isn't necessarily what we would call appropriate behavior of a housewife that makes a lot of money and has a really large house and is known as high society in whatever city they live in. And that's also being stereotypical, right? Like, that's also making some presumptions, right? But for better or worse, The Real Housewives is a desperational reality TV show. I do not watch that show. Like, if I'm watching Top Chef, I'm like, oh, I'll be a better cook if I watch them make a balsamic reduction with, I don't know, foie gras or whatever. I don't feel that way when I watch The Real Housewives. I watch The Real Housewives because the drama in their life makes me feel better about my own life, right? So the behavior that's happening is part of that drama. It's part of what gives us that feeling of desperational reality TV. I don't exactly know what the right adjective is for it. You're right that we're probably using different adjectives for similar incidents, you know, and that's like, and that's within the cast, that's within the audience, that's within you and I, right, who have had lots of these conversations. And so I think the question becomes, right, how do we want to talk about it? And what do we do, you know, moving forward? So even that you and I have like a standard, okay, like somebody has a crazy moment, like we're going to call it blank. And it doesn't matter who you are, right? That is the adjective for this behavior that was not okay.
Yeah, but it's still something because it's like, right. All right, Jen, you're trying to tell us you're not being, we'll say the A word, but your veins are pulsating at the top of your head. I don't think you're being cool. I don't know what you think this is, but it's not cool, calm, and collected.
Right. And I don't want to call women in general. I don't want to call women crazy. I don't want to call them psychotic. I don't want to say that they had a mental break, right? I don't want to use those words either. You talked about like unhinged or emotional, right? Like, there has to be some, and now we're like really into, you know, inclusive identity conversation. But I think that this is a really interesting point that we are not using it. Like, we are, I think it's safe to say in general, we aren't using inclusive language to describe different behaviors, you know, based on a number of different factors. And so when you all come back for season 2, episode 1, you'll hear whatever word we pick. But luckily we've got at least like 6 or 7 months to figure one out. Because it's hard.
It's hard. But I'll tell you, my heart went out to Jen when she was like shaking and crying and talking to Coach Shaw. But we've seen her do that before, but it also made me want to give her a hug. But it also made me want to be like, hey, I will start a GoFundMe for you to get some emotional support from a therapist or someone, because like the way she was shaking and the trauma that was there, and like she was like hiccuping and couldn't get her words out. And we've seen her do that before about other things. I'm like, okay, like this lady's truly hurt. This lady's truly hurt on the inside about this situation. But there also is a lack of introspection from her being able to see the perspective of others. Because if it would have been me, I'd have been like, yes, well, I do see your point. I was something. However, I'm going to educate you as a me being a person of color. Don't call me aggressive, because that is something that we're trying to move away from. Here's how it harms me. And here's how you may unconsciously think of me based on how our culture has portrayed my type of people. And this is why you probably lean towards this language. Let's do better. And then left that. Like, I feel like where she was trying to go, what she was trying to do was say, I was not aggressive. And y'all are only saying that because I'm a person of color, which is not true. It's not 100% true.
Yes. Agreed. So I think this is probably a good time to transition and start to look towards next season, because the reunion has given us a lot of interactions among people we didn't necessarily expect. And I think that it would be kind of good to just do like a circle back of like, we'll talk about a woman, we'll talk about the people she might have tension with, the people she's on good terms with, and what we think might happen for them going forward next season. And let's see if we can prophesy anything that's coming up.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, who do you want to start with?
Let's start with Heather. I think Heather's going to be iced out. I think Jen and Lisa are going to ice her out.
Interesting. What do you think about, I mean, we never really watched Heather and Mary have much of a relationship. We haven't seen a lot with Heather and Meredith.
Yeah, that's why it's going to be easy to isolate her. She only has Whitney. She's a fan favorite. Jen and Lisa, like, she did not win them over. She didn't win friendships back with them at the end of this. She's going to have a takedown season. And I predict that because of her, you know, being found as a fan favorite, she thankfully has gained confidence, but I think it's going to go to her head a little bit. So in the takedown in conjunction with like maybe an inflated ego is going to be a recipe for us seeing Heather in an unfavorable light next season. And if not that, we know production likes to do that to people. They like to build them up and break them down. So I don't think that Heather is going to leave season two on a high note. I think it's going to be a difficult season for her.
Yeah. Yeah. The person that I actually want to start by talking about is Meredith. So they referenced in this episode the degeneration of Meredith and Jen's friendship. And Sharif talks about it too, if I'm remembering correctly. And so that I think is going to be really interesting, because what we see is a Meredith and Lisa connection and actually a Meredith and Whitney connection, not as much with Mary. Who knows where we're headed? But I think this Meredith-Jen fracture is going to be interesting. And I think that we'll see where Meredith comes out of this. She spoke quickly at times. That made me excited to see her in the future. She spoke her mind. She didn't worry. And I hope that we see more of that from Meredith, but that the interactions and where things are headed, I think we have to wait and see what time will tell, because I feel like this is it. Like, if she can't get into something, there won't be much of a future.
Yeah, I think so. I wonder who her alliance will be with, because we did see some tension there with Meredith and Lisa at the end of last week's episode, where Lisa kind of wanted her to come out and defend her a little bit more. And then we see Meredith having tension with Jen. However, Lisa and Jen are building this strong partnership. And Meredith doesn't seem to want to play the game of, I'll be nice to Jen just because it's my friend's friend. She seems to have some, I don't want to call it hatred. I don't want to call it animosity. She's just extra cool towards Jen. I don't think we're going to see that repair anytime soon because of what she felt Jen did to her family. So maybe she'll join forces with Whitney. Maybe she'll join forces with Heather. We'll see.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that was Meredith. Who do you want to pick next?
Let's talk about Mary, because apparently she's going to be back. And I don't know if she's going to get worse. I don't know what we're going to see from her.
So Jen and Mary have healed. Mary and Whitney are friends. Is there any beef currently with anybody with Mary?
I don't think that there's beef with anyone with Mary, but I think at any time there could be. Mary is the unknown. So there's no beef now. I don't think they hang out off season. So I don't think there's going to be beef then, but perhaps there may be beef later. Who knows?
I wonder if they think that her finances are going to get her in trouble this season. And that's why they brought her back.
Yeah, I think she's intriguing. Like, honestly, where else would you ever find a person like Mary? Definitely a viewer's pleasure. They're bringing her back because it can only get worse, you know? So I'm sure she does make for good TV. It's not like they care about her mental health or the fact that this is, yeah, it's not like they care about her in that way. So of course they bring her back.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know where that's going to go. Now let's talk about the three, I think, most interesting characters. Do you want to start with Whitney, Lisa, or Jen? Let's do Whitney. So Whitney has marginal tension with Lisa right now. Jen has marginal tension with Whitney. Whitney has a relationship with Mary and with Meredith, and obviously ride or die with Heather. I think she's going to be in the middle again. She might have had bad timing, but I still think she's going to play the same role she did this season, that people talk to her.
Yeah.
She didn't really, like, Jen tried to come after Heather and Whitney for talking about Meredith and Seth, but like they didn't. They only did because Jen told them things.
But according to Jen, there were things we did not see. She tried to indicate that everybody was guilty and everybody had a role to play and her doing what she did. And they're like, no, we didn't. But I agree with you there.
I think that Whitney is going to continue to be the Dorinda. Like, that is the role Dorinda has played on not anymore, right? But on The Real Housewives of New York, that is who Dorinda's been. It's who she's been. It's who she'll always be. I think that is actually a really good fit for Whitney.
Yeah, I hope next season that Whitney and Lisa can at least become friends and there's not always this like weird thing going on between them for really not great reasons, because they could be a fun pair. They could be a fun pair to watch. Same thing with Jen and Whitney. Jen and Whitney were never close to begin with, right? Like, I think they were nice. They were friendly.
Right. They need a few nights out, which I know is like hard to do in COVID, but like that's really... Jen and Whitney just need to like go out on the town.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be friends by the end of the night for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to Jen. Jen has both beef and no beef with everybody.
Yeah, except for Lisa. She's got Lisa, her and Mary. I honestly believe Mary, when Mary said, it's all done, forgiven, I actually believe that it's water under the bridge, because for sure, I don't think she's going to hold a grudge.
I believe that for Mary. I believe that for Jen.
Jen. Okay, I totally agree. I believe that on Mary's end. When Mary said that, I was like, this lady is being for real. And you could see in how her mannerisms changed and how she switched talking to her. Like, we went from episode one of the reunion where she's like, I'm not trying to be friends with you, so it don't even use that as an example, to her like trying to give her loving motherly advice. So we have Jen, who's friends with Lisa, but that seems to be very weird. They have some weird pact, or someone has something on each other. I could fall at any moment. I don't trust it. And then we see that Jen and Mary are okay. I don't think that we'll see more drama from them. I think they're just going to be like, okay, they can coexist.
Yeah, I think we have to see what Jen comes back as. Is Jen reflective or is Jen defensive? And whichever Jen comes back is going to set the tone for the season.
I think Jen can't help herself. She clearly has gotten media coaching, so she's trying. But in those moments where she can't help herself, she can't help herself. Case in point, the race conversation and how she like kind of had an outburst there towards the end with her crying. Those were real emotions. You can't hold those. It would take a great deal of coaching and therapy for her to be able to sit there, smile, grin and bear it, and have a PC response when that's what she's feeling like inside. She has reactions to many things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the last one that's interesting is Lisa. I feel like you're right with some tension between Lisa and Meredith. She's like all on the Jen train. she and Heather, like, I don't know that they'll ever be friends again. I mean, okay, I'm sure they'll be fine, right? Like, take a few months off, process. But I feel like if you were to describe how season two is going to open, after we see what all the women are doing, we're going to see Lisa and Heather out at dinner talking.
Oh, of course. Oh, of course. Like clockwork. And then maybe they'll be okay for a little while and they'll have another falling out. I will say this, out of everyone in the cast, Lisa seems to be the only one that actually wants to be friends with everyone. I feel like she wants to actually have a friendship with everyone. I feel like she might play the role of Kyle in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I feel like she'll call a meeting together. I feel like she's watching Twitter, she's watching the forums, and she's going to call a meeting together of the ladies and say, listen, people are saying we're not friends, we don't have chemistry, it's off. We need to figure out how to make this happen. So it's going to be a little bit hard, but a lot of bit business decision for her to try to rally the people together. Let's see who'll play game with that, though. Let's see who's going to play ball with that approach.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting, right? Like, I mean, Lisa, I feel like, was front and center. Also, I just have to say, I have watched people make fun of her spray tanned hands, but it was nowhere near as glaring as it was in this part three. She brought her hand up to her face at one point, and there were like 13 shades of difference between her face and her hand. And that to me, like, no.
How does that happen? Lisa Barlow, Queen Lisa Barlow, how did that happen? And how did she allow that to happen? She surely looked down and saw her hands. So is there not a way to correct that by getting like more spray tan or something?
I feel like there's got to be an option. Whatever. Like, I don't know. Is that your first spray tan? Like, get a spray tan. I don't know.
It's weird that she went on TV. It's very weird to me.
Yeah. And like John looks a little tan in the face, but like his hands are white. It's actually like it made it worse. They were like, we're so contrasted. And I don't mean white, like race identity. I just mean like literally her hands are orange. It was hard to look at. My brother was like, what? I mean, his face, when he saw those orange hands, I just could not. So, okay, let's put a pin in the season. Hope, hiccup from the whole season. Actually, nope, there are no hiccups. The season's done. All we're talking about are the best parts. So our Rose and our Bud. Rose being best part of the season and Bud being thing you're looking forward to in next season.
Rose is the fact that there was a Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. This has been so fun. It married two of my most favorite things on earth. Salt Lake City, a city I love, and Real Housewives, something that I am a fan of. If someone were to ask me what my hobby is, I would love to say watching Real Housewives. My bud, my hope for the season is that they get it together and actually become friends, and I don't want Mary to come back.
Oh, well, it might be too late for that. Do you think she'll come back as a friend of the housewife? No, I think she's going to be like a real housewife.
I think they're going to make her real because she's intriguing. Like, she's like a train wreck that you cannot stop watching. Like, I'm talking about Mary here, but I actually want to know more about Mary. I want to get to the bottom of this. I want someone to do a podcast about Mary. Maybe that's what we do. Maybe we do that next, Sam. We have a podcast, investigatory style podcast about Mary and her life.
Did you see the one that I sent you about Mary's?
Oh, no, I didn't. But maybe, so perhaps that's where this idea that I'm thinking is original came from.
Okay, there is an Instagram story and they spent, we're going to have to find the link. But anyways, they spent like, I don't know, at least a week, like really deep diving into like, who owns some of Mary's companies? How have we heard those names before? Where have they been in interviews? We don't need to do it. These people have like very thoroughly done this workup. You probably heard, it reminds me of Brittany's Graham. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts about the Free Britney movement. So I was trying to look up our podcast to just pull something for the ending. And then it started playing more Eat, Pray, Britney and Brittany's Graham. But listen, Mary's Deep Dive doesn't need its own podcast. There's a whole Instagram story about it. We could just steal from them, but that would be stealing. And we don't do that. So my Rose, I have to agree with you. The feeling of watching people in our backyard was really cool. Like the other day I learned that like, I know someone who goes to Beauty Lab Laser And that was so cool. And so the fact that there was enough drama, the fact that there's a season two, like the fact that it's kind of got legs is by far the rose to me. And I think the bud is, I'm hopeful that they will continue to showcase some of Utah's awesomeness. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see the women. I don't know that you could do this like with filming and stuff, but like, I'd love to see them go to other hot springs. I'd love to see them showcase other ski resorts. I'd love to see them go to some of like more of my favorite restaurants and show that how to support local business and go to the Pride Parade, which probably still won't be going on this June, right? But like, those are the things I want to see is more of our life in their life. And I think we started to see that this season, and I'm excited to see more, not because I think that I should be a Real Housewife, but I think it's really cool to see people doing things in your town. And it's really cool to talk to our listeners about things we do in our town that, you know, rich D-list celebrities also do.
Yes.
If I just called them rich celebrities, my dad would have texted me after that statement in the podcast. So now he's still going to text me, but at least it's not because I made an incorrect statement and called the Real Housewives celebrities.
I love it. Okay. So I love that.
Okay. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Well, let me say, Sam, this has been fun. I know Sam and I have talked about this before, that we were frenemies, sisters. So I'm definitely going to miss hanging out with you every week and having these podcasts, but I will find something to bug you about and connect with you about so that I don't have a Sam shaped hole in my life.
Oh, you know, I actually just looked at the calendar and I was like, holy cow, we've been doing this for almost 4 months, like straight. And part of, I guess, the thing I'm most hopeful for in season two is they normally come out with 22 episode seasons, which means like, we're really stuck together for like half the year next time. I love
it, my salty sister. And then also, let's, you know, wrap up this week by saying, like, not only was this the final week for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season one, it was Sam's birthday. So I hope you had a very great birthday week. I hope this episode was the birthday gift that you desired.
It was the cherry on the top. So, you know, you can follow us in all the normal ways. You can subscribe for when we're back for season two. If you know us, you can text us because Cho and I will inevitably be talking about other Real Housewives franchises in text and other formats. But otherwise, have a great time and we will see you on the slopes in Salt Lake for season two.
Take care.
Bye.